السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. So this is our second monthly class in which we're studying the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. And today's class is going to be in the second hadith, a hadith that was narrated by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, a hadith that is also narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen, which we discussed last month about that title, Amir al-Mu'mineen, and Umar radiyallahu anhu, the second Khalifa of this Ummah, narrated this second hadith, and we'll go right into it. An-Nawawi says, عن عمر رضي الله عنه أيضا قال بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم إذ طلع علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب شديد سواد الشعر لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد حتى جلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه ووضع كفيه إلى فخذيه وقال يا محمد أخبرني عن الإسلام فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا قال صدقت فعجبنا له يسأله ويصدقه قال فأخبرني عن الإيمان قال أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره قال صدقت قال فأخبرني عن الإحسان قال أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك قال فأخبرني عن الساعة قال ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل قال فأخبرني عن أماراتها قال أن تلد الأمة ربتها وأن ترى الحفاة العراة العالة رعاء الشاء يتطاولون في البنيان ثم انطلق فلبثت مليا ثم قال يا عمر أتدري من السائل قلت الله ورسوله أعلم قال فإنه جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم. The second hadith, as An-Nawawi says, on the authority of Umar رضي الله عنه also, who says, while we were one day sitting with the Prophet with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there appeared before us a man dressed in extremely white clothes, and with very black hair. No traces of journeying were visible on him, and none of us knew him. He sat down close by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and rested his knees against the knees of the Prophet ﷺ, and placed his palms over his thighs and said, O Muhammad, inform me about Islam. O Muhammad, inform me about Islam. The Messenger ﷺ replied, Islam is that you should testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that you should perform salah and pay zakah. fast during Ramadan and perform Hajj to the house, if you can find a way for it. He said, "You have spoken the truth." So then Umar radiallahu anhu says that we were astonished at this, at thus questioning him and then telling him that he was right. But he went on to say, "Inform me about Iman." He, the Prophet ﷺ, answered, "It is that you believe in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers and in the last day and in divine destiny or qadr, both in its good and its evil aspects." He said, "You have spoken the truth." Then he said, "Inform me about Ihsan." And the Prophet ﷺ answered, "It is that you should worship Allah as though you could see Him, and yet though you cannot see Him, He sees you." He said, "Inform me of the hour." And he, the Prophet ﷺ, said, "About that, the one questioned knows no more than the questioner." So he said, "Then inform me about its signs." He said, "They are that the slave girl will give birth to her mistress, and that you will see the barefooted ones, the naked, and the destitute, the herdsmen of sheep, competing with each other in building lofty buildings." Thereupon the man went off, and then Umar radiallahu anhu says, "I waited a while, and then he, the Prophet ﷺ, said to me, 'O Umar, do you know who that questioner was?' And Umar radiallahu anhu says, 'I replied, Allah and His Messenger know better.' So then he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, 'That was Jibreel. He came to teach you your religion.'" This hadith is a very well-known hadith, and it is known generally as the hadith of Jibreel. The hadith of Jibreel is a hadith which sums up the foundations of our belief and the foundations of our religion. And what a great name that it might be nicknamed the hadith of Jibreel, or as some of them call it, the hadith of Jibreel, about teaching us our deen. And this hadith, when we studied it with Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad in the Prophet's Masjid, it took him 3 days to explain it. And when you listen to the explanation of this hadith amongst other scholars, you find them needing many classes to teach it. And in that same way, may Allah allow us to complete it, we're going to take multiple sittings to study this hadith. And before we study the hadith and the sentences and statements line by line, I would like to take some time to talk about Jibreel alayhi salam, the leader of the angels and the messenger amongst angels, the teacher of prophets, he who does Allah's work and does it faithfully and in a trustworthy manner, Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel who all ahadith and all ayat came through him, in the sense that all ayat from the Quran were revealed from Allah through Jibreel to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the same sense that nothing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says is from his own desires, as is in Surah An-Najm, but rather it is wahi or divine revelation revealed unto him. So all matters of our deen, if they all had a chain of narration, then that chain of narration would end amongst the creation. It would end at Jibreel alayhi salam, and the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, their narrations, the chains of their narrations would be on the authority of such and such Sahabi, on the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on the authority of Jibreel, on the authority of Rabbul Alameen, the Master or the Lord of the world. Jibreel alayhi salam is mentioned in the Quran in many ayat, and one of, or a group of the ayat in which he is mentioned is in Surah An-Najm, where Allah starts the ayah or the surah by saying, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى, that by the star when it goes down or when it descends, Allah swears by the star, مَا ظَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى, that your companion, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has not gone astray, nor has he erred or has he made an error. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى, nor does he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, speak from his own desire or inclination. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَى, it is nothing but inspiration that is inspired to him, or revelation that is revealed to him. عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى, he has been taught, meaning this Qur'an and those matters of the Sunnah, he has been taught by the one who is mighty in power, or intense in his strength. شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى, the very intense in his strengths, and that is Jibreel alayhi salam. ذُو مِرَّةٍ فَاسْتَوَى, ذُو مِرَّةٍ, meaning he is sound and is free of any defect in his body or mind. فَاسْتَوَى, فَاسْتَوَى, meaning then he, Jibreel alayhi salam, rose or stood up and rose and took his true form. As in Tafsir al-Tabri, it mentions that he, Jibreel, rose and became stable. He stood up. وَهُوَ بِالْأُفُقِ الْأَعْلَى, while he, Jibreel alayhi salam, was in the highest part of the horizon. ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّى, so he was there at the highest part of the horizon, and then he, Jibreel, approached and came closer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى, and he was at the distance of two bow lengths, or nearer. Two bows, as you know, bows and arrows, two bow lengths, or even nearer than that. فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى, and then he revealed to Allah's servant what he revealed. Meaning, Jibreel alayhi salam conveyed Allah's wahi to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. مَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَأَى, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's heart was not lying regarding what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw. And this is part of a story that we will touch on later on, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam first saw Jibreel alayhi salam. And another part of the Quran in which Jibreel alayhi salam is mentioned regarding the hadith, regarding the Quran and revelation of Quran, is in the surah Ash-Shu'ara, or the poets, where Allah says, وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, and verily it, the Quran, is the revelation of the Lord of the worlds. تنزيل رب العالمين نزل به الروح الأمين. That the trustworthy ruh or spirit, meaning Jibril, brought it down or revealed it. He came down with it. على قلبك لتكون من المنذرين. And he brought it down upon your heart, O Muhammad, صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he brought it down so that you would be from the warners, from those who warn, بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍ مُبِينٍ, in the clear Arabic language. So these are some of the descriptions of Jibreel, and we're going to go through these descriptions of Jibreel alayhi salam. So from those descriptions is that he is Ar-Ruh al-Amin, the trustworthy Ruh or spirit. As you know, in English, you find the Christians mislabeling Jibreel, calling him the Holy Spirit. But that concept of him being Ar-Ruh al-Amin exists in Islam, that he is the trustworthy spirit. He is different than the rest of the Malaika. He is the trustworthy leader of the Malaika. He is Ar-Ruh al-Amin, and also Allah calls him in the Quran Shadeed al-Quwa, the intense in power. And Allah says that he is Dhu Mirrah, meaning that he is sound and has no blemishes in his body or mind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also describes him with other descriptions. So the first thing we want to talk about is his strength. Jibreel alayhi salam is strong. And sorry, before we go into that, we'd go into his knowledge, the fact that he is knowledgeable. And they describe Jibreel as the teacher of the prophets. So he is the one that taught the Prophet ﷺ and revealed the Qur'an to the Prophet ﷺ, as he revealed the Torah to Musa ﷺ, and the Zabur to Dawud ﷺ, and the Injil to Isa ﷺ, amongst many other books that he revealed to those prophets that he revealed them to, those whom we know and those whom we don't know. The first description we want to talk about, after the fact that he is knowledgeable and that he has to have knowledge, as he is taking knowledge to those prophets and revealing it upon them, knowledge from Allah's knowledge that he revealed to those prophets through Jibreel. The first description of Jibreel after that is that he is the quwwah, as mentioned in the Quran. And there's no doubt that Jibreel alayhi salam would have to be extremely strong, as he is listening to the wahi, to the Quran, the statements of Allah, from Allah. When Allah mentions in the Quran that the other malaika, when Allah speaks, that they are overwhelmed, and I don't want to use the wrong term, but in a sense, they are incapacitated when they hear it, and then when they get up from that incapacitation, they ask, what did Allah say? And they say to each other, he only said the truth. حَتَّى إِذَا فُزِّعَ عَنْ قُلُوبِهِمْ قَالُوا مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ قَالُوا الْحَقِّ. That they say that Allah, they say to each other that what did Allah say? And they say, he said the truth. Jibreel alayhi salam is the one that does not become incapacitated or overwhelmed by Allah's statements. He is the one that listens and then teaches Allah's speech, the Quran, to the Prophet ﷺ. He is also the angel that Allah has made specially strong in his abilities. He is ذو مِرَّة, meaning the one who is sound in his in the features that Allah has created in him. شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى, that Allah has given him that power or that intensity in his power or in his strength that would allow him to fulfill his duties towards Allah in serving Allah, that Jibreel alayhi salam has intense power that is not like any other of the Malaika. And Allah also mentions that he is Ar-Ruh, as Allah mentions تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحِ. Allah singles out Jibreel alayhi salam in many ayat when he mentions the Malaika. He also mentions Jibreel on the side, after them or before them. So he says, تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحِ, that the Malaika ascend, and Jibreel does, Ar-Ruh, the spirit. And in the ayah, in Surah Al-Qadr, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحِ, that the angels come down with revelation or with the Qadr, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحِ, and Jibreel. And if we go into some of his physical characteristics, we find that the Prophet ﷺ, when he first saw Jibreel, when revelation first came down upon him, that the Prophet ﷺ was overwhelmed by what he saw and fainted, because Jibreel alayhi salam has 600 wings, and that when he stood up and rose up and the Prophet ﷺ saw him in his actual form, Jibreel alayhi salam covered or took up the horizons. All he could see was Jibreel alayhi salam from the immense size of Jibreel alayhi salam. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him, he covered or blocked the horizons. You couldn't see past Jibreel alayhi salam. And if you want to compare his creation to that of the Malaika, Allah says in the Quran that Allah created the Malaika laha ajnihatun mathna wa thulatha wa ruba', that Allah created the Malaika with 2, 3, and 4 wings, and he increases those whom he wills. But Jibreel alayhi salam, compared to the rest of the Malaika, has 600 wings. And the second time that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him, he saw Jibreel alayhi salam, and in some narrations it says, I saw that same angel that came to me when I was in Hira. I saw him and he was blocking the horizons, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ran to his family and he said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me, or basically smother me, cover me so that I can't see anything. And from that we had the Surah Al-Muzzammil, Ya Ayyuha Al-Muzzammil, O you who covers himself up. And this is a very crude translation, but generally that is the story of when the Prophet ﷺ saw Jibreel, that Allah called him the enshrouded one, or the covered one, or the cloaked one, al-muzammil, and in the other surah, al-muddathir, or the cloaked one. So Jibreel alayhi salam is an extremely immense angel with 600 wings. And to understand the place of Jibreel amongst the angels, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah says that Jibreel's place with Allah is similar to the place of the hajib from a king or a khalifa. The hajib is the man that bears the sword, that is always alert, that is always tending to the affairs of the king. In a sense, and not to say it in a way that would be disrespectful to Allah, but Jibreel is like that person. If you wanted to compare an equivalent to mankind, then Jibreel would be that one that takes care of the most important tasks and that is given the most important tasks. He's the leader of the Malaika. He is the one who orders, and his order is obeyed in the heavens. So from his characteristics is that he is obeyed. And when he orders the Malaika to do something, they do it. As Allah says in the Quran, مُطَاعٍ ثُمَّ أَمِينٌ. مُطَاعٍ meaning obeyed. He is obeyed. مُطَاعٍ ثُمَّ أَمِينٌ. That the Prophet, that Jibreel alayhi salam, he gives the order to the Malaika, and the Malaika, they carry out those orders, مُطَاعٍ ثَمَّ أَمِينٌ, that he is obeyed, and then he is also trustworthy. After that, we go into another characteristic of Jibreel alayhi salam, and that is that Allah has empowered him. So in the heavens, Jibreel is obeyed by the Malaika, and that is through Allah's order, that Allah has ordered them to obey him and do what he says. And on earth, Jibreel alayhi salam is the carrier, is the one who carries out Allah's wrath. He is extremely strong and powerful, and thus is able to carry out both, to execute both the wrath of Allah, as well as to bring much good to Allah's beloved servants. And after this quality of being empowered that Allah has given him that, and we're going to talk about some of it a little later, is the quality of al-amanah, or Jibreel alayhi salam's trustworthiness and truthfulness. So Allah says in the Quran, مُطَاعٍ ثَمَّ أَمِينٌ, that he is the obeyed one, and then he is also trustworthy. And Allah says in the Quran, نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينُ, that the trustworthy spirit, the trustworthy ruh, came down with the Quran. And Jibreel alayhi salam is the angel who Allah has trusted with his wahi. He has been entrusted with carrying Allah's word to the messengers of Allah from amongst mankind, and he does that without increasing even a haraka, even a vowel, or a harf, or even a letter, nor does he neglect and forget anything and leave out even a vowel or a letter. And there's the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, narrated by Al-Bukhari, in which our Prophet ﷺ tells us about Jibreel's lofty place, alayhi salam, when he says, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ الْعَبْدَ نَادَى جِبْرِيلٌ, that when Allah loves a servant from his servants, he calls Jibreel, and he says to him, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فُلَانًا فَأَحْبِبْهُ, that verily Allah loves such and such person, so love him, meaning you, Jibreel, love this person. فَيُحِبُّهُ جِبْرِيلٌ, so Jibreel loves this person. And then Jibreel, فَيُنَادِي جِبْرِيلُ فِي أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ, then Jibreel عليه السلام calls to the people of the heavens, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فَأَحِبُّوهُ, he calls out to them, meaning the angels of the heavens, and he says, verily Allah loves Fulan, or loves such and such person, so love him. So the people of the heavens love him. فَيُحِبُّهُ أَهْلُ السَّمَاءِ, the people of the heavens, meaning the malaika, أَهْلُ السَّمَاءِ, they love him. ثُمَّ يُوضَعُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and then this person, al-qabul, or being accepted, is written for him in the earth. So you find people accepting him, or loving him, respecting him, and taking from him. And we hope that Allah makes us from those who He loves, and orders Jibreel to love, who orders the Malaika in the heavens to love, which causes the people of the earth to love. And we hope Allah definitely makes our ulama from them. And these qualities of Jibreel that we have talked about, he deserves them. And he is worthy of them. Because you see that he, in his actions, must be trustworthy and strong and empowered and obeyed. When Lut, the people of Lut or Lot, were destroyed, it was but a mere raising their whole city. Jibreel alayhis salam raised their city and flipped it and destroyed it using the tip of his wing, one of his 600 wings. And it was Jibreel alayhi salam, as he mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Fir'aun was watching the Red Sea come down upon him, he said, I believe in the Lord of Musa and Harun. Or he tried to say it, but Jibreel alayhi salam said to the Prophet sallam, if only you had seen how I was stuffing mud down his throat, hoping that the mercy of Allah would not reach him. There are many ahadith of Jibreel alayhi salam and his immense characteristics and his immense trustworthiness and how greatly Allah created him and his place in this ummah is a very high place. Allah says in the Quran that whoever is an enemy to Allah and his angels and his messengers and Jibreel and Mikael, then Allah is an enemy to the kafirin, to those who are disbelievers. Jibreel alayhi salam, we love him, and he has the highest possible place amongst the malaika. So how about those who hate him, like the Rawafid, Shiite sects that call Jibreel alayhi salam a deceiver or a traitor, where they believe that he took the Quran to the wrong person. Those who describe Jibreel alayhi salam and they say khana al-amana, that he betrayed the trust, the amana. And how about the Jews who also show enmity towards Jibreel alayhi salam? We love Jibreel alayhi salam, and this hadith, hadith Jibreel, is one of the most important hadith mentioned in the collections of hadith. And as we said, when it comes to the Quran or the Sunnah, then all chains of narration end amongst the creation with Jibreel alayhi salam. And with that, we end the small biography of Jibreel alayhi salam. And if we just take a few benefits from the hadith, you would see the immense humbleness of Jibreel alayhi salam. When you know how he is created and how amazingly large he is and strong he is, when you see that he came in this hadith in the form of a man, and he acted the way he acted, and he asked the way he asked, you see that it is not only mankind, but it is also the malaika who are extremely humble from the righteous servants of Allah. Umar radiallahu anhu says, while we were one day sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there appeared before us a man dressed in extremely white clothes and with very black hair. No traces of journeying were visible upon him, and none of us knew him. He sat down close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he rested his knees against his knees and placed his palms over his thighs, and he said, O Muhammad, inform me about Islam. So the Sahaba were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and a man came amongst them, and his clothes were extremely white, and his hair was extremely black, but none of them knew him, and he had no signs of journeying upon him. Think about this. Think about a community in which everybody knows one another, and the only time a person that is not known comes, it is a person that is traveling. But here comes a man in extremely white clothes, and that means that there are no signs of any traveling upon him, because at that time there weren't paved roads, and there weren't cars. There was camel, and horseback, and donkey, and there was walking on your feet. And this man came amongst them, showing no signs of any of those apparent telltale signs of traveling, yet nobody knew him. And the Sahaba were used to Bedouins coming from the desert asking the Prophet ﷺ questions. But here this man is beautiful, is well kept, and is unknown. So that was the first thing to call interest to them, or to cause them to pay attention even more. And this man, in this state, he came and he sat directly in front of the Prophet ﷺ, putting his knees to the Prophet's knees and his hands upon his thighs. The ulama say that look at this, look at the mannerisms and characteristics that Jibreel alayhi salam embodied when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he came in good clothing, and this is from the characteristics of the student of knowledge, that he wears good clothing. He doesn't come to the gatherings of knowledge in scruffy clothing, unkept, or disheveled. Here, Jibreel alayhi salam, even though we know that he was a teacher in this sense, but he came in the form of a student, and he came in the form of a well-kept student with extremely white clothes and extremely black hair. And Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen mentions about this aspect of his description, that he came with extremely black hair, that this is that this is a proof that we should stay upon the matters of fitrah that we were taught about, that we should have well kept, we should have our beards, and the Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan also mentions this, that our beards should be long and untouched, that our hair be kept nice, and it is apparent that that was the state of Jibreel alayhi salam, that he emulated that quality of man, that he came with a beautiful appearance. And then he sat down directly in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan mentions that this is from the characteristics of the student of knowledge, that when he sits in front of the Sheikh. He tries to sit as close to the Sheikh as possible. And Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen also mentions this, that when you sit, you come close. And we know this in our religion from different matters like salah, like prayer, and like the khutbah of Jum'ah, that we come closer. And from the sittings and the gatherings of knowledge, that we come as close as we possibly can. So here Jibreel alayhi salam came directly in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so much so that he put his knees to his knees. He put his knees to the Prophet's knees. And that shows that he came in a very humble state. And it also shows the humility of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And even more so with the next part, where Jibreel alayhi salam put his hands on his thighs. His thighs. Whose thighs? Perhaps the brothers in the class right now amongst each other can try to discuss whose thighs are mentioned, because in the Arabic and in the English, the pronoun is used as his. It is a pronoun for the male, but it doesn't mention, are these Jibreel's thighs that he put his own hands on, or the Prophet's thighs that he put his hands on. And we find that both statements have merit. For those who say that Jibreel alayhi salam put his hands on his own thighs, it shows that he was extremely respectful, sitting similar almost to as we sit in our salah, in our prayer, where you put your hands on your thighs and you sit with respect, that Jibreel came to ask the Prophet questions, and that he sat in a most respectful manner. So those of you amongst the brothers and sisters who are listening, who said that the thighs mentioned were the thighs of Jibreel alayhi salam, then you have Salaf or predecessors who preceded you in saying that. As for those who say that Jibreel alayhi salam put his hands on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's thighs, then this is mentioned by some of the Sahaba, including Ibn Abbas and Ibn Umar, where they say that he put his hands upon the thighs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's mentioned as the thighs of the Prophet rather than saying his thighs. And in that sense, it would also show the humility of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the simpleness in which he allows this unknown man, according to what the companions see, that he allows this unknown man to come and sit in such a way and ask in such a way. And it is known amongst the Sahaba that they loved when the Bedouins would come, the harsh people that lived in the harsh desert. They would come and they would not be shy to ask. Because of the harsh lifestyle that they lived, they would get straight to the point and they would ask many questions that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would be shy to ask. And in that sense, the Sahaba here were perplexed. Here is a man that is obviously not a traveler, but is obviously not amongst us. And he's coming to ask in a way that the Bedouins come to ask directly and without much formality. Yet he is not known to any of us. And Jibreel alayhi salam, he said, "O Muhammad, tell me about Islam. Inform me about Islam." He didn't say, "O Rasulullah." He said, "O Muhammad." And here the ulama also mentioned that perhaps Jibreel alayhi salam said this also in the state of emulating the Bedouins that would come, because they would say, "O Muhammad," and they didn't used to say, "O Messenger of Allah," as was the formal way that the Sahaba would address the Prophet ﷺ, "O Messenger of Allah," "O Prophet of Allah." The Bedouins would come and say, "O Muhammad, tell me this, O Muhammad, do this." And that's how they would do it, because their life was not as easy and their life had some harshness to it. So some of their characteristics would be in accordance with that lifestyle that they lived. So the ulama say perhaps Jibreel alayhi salam, one of the reasons or the hikmah or the wisdom behind him saying, "O Muhammad," was also in that emulation of the Bedouins who would come to ask. And all of these matters, if you imagine you're sitting with your imam or your teacher or your sheikh, and some unknown man comes and he acts in such a way, all of these matters would cause you to pay attention even more. It would make an unforgettable scene and an unforgettable story. So imagine if that story came with life lessons, and lessons that are so important and so connected to the core of your deen. And with that, with his statement, "O Muhammad, inform me about Islam," with that, we'll stop this class, inshallah. And the next class, if Allah wills, we'll talk about the aspects of Islam and the five pillars of Islam, as well as the aspects of Iman, the six pillars of Iman. And then, hopefully, if we can do it in the same class, we'll take the end of the hadith of Ihsan and the last hour. And if not, then we'll take that in a third class. And I hope I didn't take too long with the biography of Jibreel, but it's very important that we know the high and lofty place and the amazing characteristics of Jibreel alayhi salam, for he is so beloved to us and so integral in our deen. And it shows the evil and the strong mistake that is made by the Yahud, the Jews, as well as the Shia, the Rawafidh, the Rafidha, those who despise Jibreel or describe him with that which is not becoming of him. And with that, we're going to end this part of the class. I hoped our brothers have facilitated it We wanted to hear some of the brothers who had the opportunity to memorize the first hadith, as well as talking about this second hadith. But I'm not sure if that's possible, so I'm going to wait just a few moments. Akhi Asad, is it possible for the brothers, some of the brothers, to recite? I know the brothers from Masjid Quba are listening, and if any of them memorize the hadith as well as the master of istighfar, Sayyid al-Istighfar, the best way of seeking forgiveness from Allah, we also ask them to memorize that. If there's anybody, we'd love to hear that as a group, inshallah, if it's possible.